Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Samach Dalid. We are holding a daf Samach Gimel and Beis, and today's daf basically is structured around three stories. It's not really stories, but episodes where people were sitting around together and they asked certain shilas. So three shilas, I guess, is how we're going to frame today's daf. So we're holding on Samach Gimel and Beis, and we are at the words Yosef Rav Nachman V'ula V'Avimi, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines before the end of the page. Yosef says the Gemara. Yosef Rav Nachman Ula Avimi Bar Papi. VYosef Rabbi Chiya Barami Gabayhu. So Rav Nachman Ula Avimi Bar Papi were sitting there, and Rav Chiya Barami was sitting together with them. VYosef coming by Eluhu, and they were asking the following shaila: Schara Lishbar B'Yai Nesach Mahu. What if they hire you not to work with Yai Nesach, which we said is Asr, that's no good. But what if they hire you to break barrels of Yai Nesach, to destroy Yai Nesach? So that's your job. Your job is to destroy Yai Nesach. Is that a problem? Or is that not a problem? So it's what's the tutstad? Then mi amrin and kiven the road to bekumo aser odil makalim utetiv l'shaper dami. Do we say, well, right now you want that yai nesach to stay in this world? Because if there were no yai nesach, you wouldn't have a job. So you want to be able to keep that yai nesach around long enough for you to destroy it. So that's a problem of road to bekumo, and therefore it's aser. Or maybe no. Maybe whenever the idea is the utetivla, whenever you're trying to ultimately destroy it and get rid of the stupidity, the tifla of Yai Nesach from the world, so maybe that's always considered a good thing. Essentially, if based on the Parsha Shavuot, if we were to frame it slightly differently, if Avram Avinu was paid to do what he did to his father's avodah zarah, so is that I don't know if that's a dafyomi coincidence, that doesn't count. But if he was paid to do what he did to his father's avodah zarah, would that have been mutter? Would it have been mutter for him to get paid for such a job? Right, he did it for free, but and that's obviously okay to destroy it for free. But would it have been mutter to get paid? Because there's still that idea of rotsu b'kiyumo. So Rav Nachman says yishbar v'tavol of bracha, absolutely break it and tavol of bracha. Wonderful. Now, the lashon of the Gemara is a little bit interesting because the Gemara starts out with Rav Nachman Ula Avimi Bar Papi Yosef Rav Chiya Barami Gabayhu. That lashon of Yosef Rav Chiya Barami Gabayhu, so Tosfos points out, Rabbeinu Tam Hayim Dakti Shabakal Makom Shomer VYosef Ploni Gabayhu Maskiru Ken Lefishu Horlem Dvar Chiddush. That any time you have that lashon that someone was sitting Gabayhu, it's always because they're saying some sort of Chiddush. That person that's sitting with the other Rabbanim is going to say some sort of tremendous chiddush. V'kan lo dibur Rav Chiya bar Ami kamayu el Rav Nachman sheishav lahem v'omer kizah ma'isa haya im osa duksubas. He says that over here it seems that the guy who is Yosef Gabayhu didn't say anything. He doesn't have a speaking part over here. Rav Chiya bar Ami doesn't say anything. Who's the one that speaks up? It's Rav Nachman, who's one of the original three in the group. So it's very unusual, Tosfos says. Normally, whenever you have Yosef Gabayhu, it's always going to be because he has a tremendous chiddush to share. There's going to be some sort of machlokas. So it also explains, because this story is not an independent story. This goes together with the same group, with the Gemara and Ksubas, where the same group was sitting. That Amar Lahu Rabbi Chiya Barami, Tanina Isha Arusa V'chulei, V'al Osa Dover, Huska V'atalmud Kavadorama Seder Masechtos. That there is a Chiddush that is actually said by Rabbi Chiya Barami. That's Masech Ksubas Tafen Gimel. It doesn't, that Chiddush that he said happens to not relate at all to our Sugya, but it was in the same sitting that he said his Chiddush, and Rav Nachman shared this din, so that's why it still gets this lashon, because that sitting was a sitting where Rabbi Chiya bar Ami did actually share a Chiddush. That's how Tosfos explains. And Rashba makes the same point in Yivam Sam Chlev and Beis, that it's Ein Derech HaShas, it's not normal for the Shas to say Yasser Ploni Gabei unless he's either arguing or giving a big Chiddush. So that's what Tosfos says. You have to say that this goes together with another Maisa where there in fact was a big Chiddush coming from Rabbi Chiya bar Ami. Now this idea of Kolam Ute Tifla Shapir Dami, right, that was the Pesach of Rav Nachman, Kolam Ute Tifla Shapir Dami, so the Beis Yosef in Yardea at the end of Simon Kuf Flam and Gimel explains that Rotsa Bikyumo is only going to be Usr when you're Rotsa Bikyumo in order to either return it to its owner or to sell it. But if you're Rotsa Bikyumo Adshi Avdenu Hubi Yadav, you only want it to stick around long enough for you to destroy it yourself, that's not called Rotsa Bikyumo. That's really Rotsa Bikhurbano. You really want to destroy it. It's just that you'd like to be the guy to go ahead and destroy it. So that's not called Rotsa Bikyumo. That's how That's how the Beis Yosef explains the psak of Rav Nachman, that Yishpar v'tavol of bracha, absolutely it's fine for you to get paid to break it. It's not called Rotsa B'Kimo. So it's not that Rotsa B'Kimo is mutter. Rotsa B'Kimo is definitely aser. It's just that you're not called the Rotsa B'Kimo when your goal is the ultimate destruction of the item. The Pnei Yeshua, Maseches Chulin, Daf Ches, where the Gemara over there says, Amar Rav Nachman, Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah Mutu Lishchot Ba. The Gemara says if you have a knife of Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to shecht with it. And Rashi says, because they use it for karbanos of avodah zarah, it's asr bahana, right? Nevertheless, you're allowed to shecht with it. So Pnei Yeshua asks, you rotza b'kumo shel nesham she avodah zarah, isn't it something that you're rotza b'kumo and it's a problem that you rotza b'kumo of something that's meshamish avodah zarah? So Pnei Yeshua says the same svara, that no, when you pick up an avodah zarah al menas levatla, it's just that you can't be mevatla because you're not a guy. Only a guy could be mevatla the avodah zarah, but you're just hanging on to it till you find a guy who could be mevatelit. That's not called rotza b'kuma. That's called rotza b'bitula. That's not called rotza b'kuma, and that's okay. The Shar Mitzvah Balacha says that maybe this is similar to what Tosfos says in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Chav Tes, where Tosfos writes in the name of the Ri that Hamasha Chemto Al Menas Leva'aro Eino Overlov Ba'osa Shehiel. Let's say you keep your chametz around till you could find a really good fire to destroy it in. So you're only keeping it around in order to destroy it. So he says you're not in violation of anything of owning that chametz during that shihiyah, during that time period, because the Torah only asks hanging on to it when you're hanging on to it for your own needs, for your own hana'ah. But over here, it's almanas levaro, very similar svara, that whenever you're holding on to something almanas levaro, that's not called rotza b'kiyumo. So that's how that you have such a similar idea when it comes to chametz. Now, it's very interesting, in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Aleph, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that he talks about how serious Yayin Nesach is, and how Chazal were so strict about Yayin Nesach. He says, as evidence to that, is that even someone who's just rotza b'kiyumo of Yayin Nesach, it's going to be aser. And even if you're only rotza b'kiyumo in order to want to destroy it a second later, that you only want it around because you're getting paid to destroy it, even that's a problem with Yayin Nesach. That's how strong Chazal were about Yayin Nesach. That's the example he gives about how severely Chazal took the isra of Yayin Nesach. So Minchas Chinuch on the spot says, what's he talking about? Our Gemara has a very clear message without anyone who disagrees, who says that you're allowed to be rotza b'kiyumo in that kind of case. When you're interested in destroying it, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, yeah, yishpor v'tovel of bracha. You can get paid to destroy it, and that's fine if you're rotza b'kiyumo till the point that you get to destroy it. Tovel of bracha, that's wonderful. So what's the raya the chinuch is bringing that we take Yayin Nesach so seriously that you're not even allowed to get paid to go and destroy it? Yes, you are. You are. The Gemara says clearly you are allowed to get paid. So what they tighten is that you have to say that the Sefer HaChinuch didn't mean that this is how we paskin la halacha, but that the Gemara even had such a havamina, that to keep it around long enough to destroy it is going to be aser, because even that's a rotza b'kiyumo. Now, we don't paskin that way, but the fact that there exists such a havamina, that itself is says a lot about how Chazal viewed Yayin Nesach overall. So that's what you have to say in order to defend the Sefer HaChinuch. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesayele, two lines from the bottom of Sam Chimlam Beis, Lema Mesayele. Maybe we have a raya to this idea of Rav Nachman that in fact that's okay if you only wanted to keep it around long enough to destroy it. Ein odrin ma'ovid kochavim b'klayim. You're not allowed to dig together with an Ovid Kochavim in Klayim, if you have Kilei Zrayim. Aval Okrinimo Kedei L'mu'ute Yesatifla. But you're allowed to uproot Klayim together with him in order to be Mimayit the Tifla, and we're referring to Klayim now as Tifla, in order to be Mimayit the bad stuff. Rashi writes, Aval Okrin L'hashlich on the Ibud. You're uprooting in order to get rid of it. V'yalfagav derotza b'kiyumun shalei yakrum e'alei and achi yakrum hu. And over here it's the same situation. You want it to be there till you get to uproot it. Why do you want it to be there? Because you're getting paid to uproot it. So if a tornado were to come and uproot everything by itself, then you'd be out of a job. So you want it to it's like, do police want crime? So, you know, do firemen want fire? You're going to be out of a job if you don't have that to fight. So you rotza b'kiyumo in order to be okay. So it's a very similar situation, and yet we see that you're allowed to get paid to do it. So that's a very strong raya. So savrua, we're assuming hamani Rabbi Akiva hi, that we're going like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva damra mekayim b'klayim loka, that there is an iser and you get malchus for being mekayim klayim, for just keeping klayim around. around. Now, what does it mean to be mekayim klayim? So Rashi says, im zoran acher ubaze va'asalan siyag v'geder k'dei l'kayman loka. Mekayim klayim means someone else planted it, and you build a fence around it, you do something in order to protect it, so you get malchus for being mekayim l'kayim, for maintaining the klayim. D'tanya menachesh v'mechafe b'klayim loka. If a person weeds klayim or does some work, any sort of work on the karka, with klayim, he's going to get malchus. Rabbi Akiva says, no, af ha-mekayim. Even if you don't do anything with the klayim itself, all you do is you're mekayim the klayim. My time is Rabbi Akiva. Where does Rabbi Akiva get his din from? Amakra, sadcha, lo sizra klayim. Ein li elazareya. So I would only know from that pasuk that if you plant klayim, you get malchus. I mean, mekayim minayin. How do I know that even being mekayim klayim is something you get malchus for? Tamalomar, lo klayim. That's what the pasuk says, lo klayim. Where does the pasuk say lo klayim? What's it talking about? So Rashi explains that we actually mix together two phrases in the pasuk. Rashi explains tamalomer lo klayim, klayim da harva'a kadarish. We're actually darshaning the words that in the pasuk relating to klayim of behema, when you mix two different kinds of animals together, when you mate two different kinds of animals together. Midasamach klayim dolo sarvia gabe sada. The fact that the two psukim about kile behema and kile zra'im are juxtaposed with each other, darshinan klayim sadcha lo midalok siv, from the fact that it doesn't say behemtecha lo sarvia klayim. It doesn't just say behemtecha lo sarvia klayim velo sidra sadcha klayim. Shema mina sadcha aklayim dela el nami darshinan. So the word sadcha must be going on the previous mention of klayim, which would be kilei behem as well. Umashma demazir akasuf shelo yuhu klayim besada, that you can't even exist klayim in your field. Forget about planting it. If it's there already, you can't have it. Vilu okrin shari lemute tifla afalgav derotza bekiuman achi okrim hu viital scharo. And yet, what do you see? If you're getting paid to uproot it, nevertheless, that's okay. Even though you're rotza bekiuman, so isn't that a violation of being mekayim klayim? So you see, no. If you're only being mekayim it in order to destroy it later on, that's okay. That's why this brisa is a raya to Rav Nachman's psak. That Rav Nachman held that even something that you're usher to keep around, like yayin esech, if your only interest in keeping it around is to later destroy it, that's going to be mutter. So that's exactly the halacha here by klayim as well. Vilu mutei tifla shari. So and if it's lmutei tifla, it's going to be mutter. That's our raya. So says the Gemara, not a raya at all. You're totally misunderstanding this idea of okrin kedei lmutei satifla. So lo, hamani rabbanan here. We're not assuming that there's any isser in the first place to be mekayim klayim. So it's not at all a comparison to our case of yayin esech, where it's usser to keep around the yayin esech. We're assuming like the rabbanan. So frankly, mari I rabbanan mayir ya okrin afilu kuminami shaper dami. If it's according to the rabbanan, why do we say that you're allowed to be oker? You're even allowed to do more than be oker. You're allowed to keep it around. Stam. There's no once it's planted and you didn't do the isser, there's no separate isser of keeping it around. So says the Gemara, Hachamayaskinan Kagon Deka Avid Bechinam. Now we're assuming that the case over here is that you're working for free. Rabbi Yehudahi, the Amar Litin La Matnas Chinam Aser. And the problem is that you're not allowed to give a Matnas Chinam to a non Jew. That's the Isser. Meaning, had it been that you're doing anything but being okerit, it would be a problem of matnas chinam. And mid Rabbi Yehuda, nishmal Rabbi Akiva. So says Gemara, but wait a second, if that's the case, then let's trace this back. You know, based on Rabbi Yehuda, we should derive what Rabbi Akiva's din would be. Lavam Rabbi Yehuda asu litin la matnas chinam avalamutei tifla shaper dami. That what? Rabbi Yehuda says, really, you're not allowed to do anything for free for a non-Jew. But since over here you have a very important goal of being Mamai Tifla, you're allowed to be Oker the Klayim. So you're working for the guy, you're doing work for him that he wants you to do for free, so that should be a violation of Lo Sichanim. But we allow it because it's for a good goal. It's for a noble goal. And that is to be mite the tifla, to get rid of the klayim. So if that's what Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold, then Rabbi Kiva Nami, Alpha Gavda Rabbi Kiva, Makayim Klayim Loka, Lamute Tifla Shaper Dami. Apparently we see you're allowed to violate Isurim in order to achieve this greater goal of being mite tifla. So even though Rabbi Akiva holds being Makayim Klayim is an Isser, to achieve this great goal of being mite tifla, Nifla, that's going to be mutter. So from Rabbi Yehuda, so just like that's the two Shtal the Gemara is making. That's the comparison. That just like Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can violate Lo Sichanim for the greater goal of being Mimayit Tifla, so to Rabbi Kiba will say you're allowed to violate a Mekayim Klayim for the greater goal of being Mimayit Tifla. And therefore that's a strong raya to Rav Nachman, who said that you could violate the Yisra of being Mekayim or Rotsa Bikiyumo of Yai Nesach in order to achieve the ultimate goal of being Mimayit Tifla, of wanting to destroy the Yai Nesach. Says Gemara, Visulo Midi, and there's nothing left to discuss over here. So let's discuss a couple of points, because the next line in the Gemara goes on to the next story. So first of all, Tosos, on the bottom of Samach Gimlan Beis, in Dibur Maskel in Odrin, says that Harav Rabbeinu Tam, Dachak Lahavi Rayos, Deklayim Va'orla Nogin Mishalov Dekchavim, that Rabbeinu Tam tried very hard to show that Klayim and Orla is noeg even on produce that belongs to a non-Jew, that it's not only on Jewish produce. And then if you continue, it's like one long Tosos goes up, Samach Dalet Amun Aleph, he says, Elevade Bikalei Zroi Ma'iri proves that our sugya about Okrin, Klayim, Kedei Lema'et, Kedei Lemutei Satifla, is about Kilei Zroim, not Kilei Akerem, V'chein Mashem, Naisi El Akra, Desadach L'Sizra Klayim, V'hilkach, he says, therefore, Ein Lahavi Raya Mikan, Deklayim Nogim Shalav Dekhavim. So he says, if we're talking about Kilei Zroim, you can't bring a Raya from our Gemara that Klayim applies to stuff that belongs to a non-Jew. Because again, if Rabbeinu Tam is working so hard to prove that Klayim even applies to produce owned, to fields owned by a non-Jew, our Gemara should be the greatest Raya. Because what are you doing? The guy is hiring you to be Oker his Klayim. And we said, yeah, good, because you're being Mimayit to Satifla. Sounds like there is an Isser on the guy's Klayim, even though it belongs to a guy. So isn't this the greatest Raya, that the Klayim that belongs to a guy is in fact Aser? So says that's not a Raya at all. Because we're not talking about Kilei Akerem, we're talking about Kilei Zroim. So what? He says there's an important difference between Kilei Akerem and Kilei Zroim. Kilei Akerem applies even to Chutz Laretz. Kilei Zroim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. You know why there's a problem of the Klayim that belongs to a guy in Eretz Yisrael? Not because a Goyish owned Klayim is problematic, but because there's no such thing as Goyish owned anything in Eretz Yisrael. We must be talking about Eretz Yisrael, because Kilei Zroim is Mutter in Chutz Laretz. Afli Yisrael, Vim Kain, Nuchalit Chos Ta'asi Kamad Omer, Ein Kinyan, Lo Vikhov, Meretz Yisrael. We must be assuming, like the Shita that holds, that a guy can't have a Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. And if a guy can't have a Kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, it's called being Mamayat the Tifla, not because it's Goyish owned Klayim, but because really it's Jewish owned Klayim. That's how Tosos wants to suggest you're not going to have a raya for Rabbeinu Tam from our Gemara. The Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Klayim, Perikei Halachah, writes that the Rambam holds that all sorts of Klayim, we're talking about any sort of Klayim, even Klei Akerem, not just Klei Zroim. And that's why it says, Aval Okrinimo Kedei Lamayit HaSatifla is even on Klei Akerem. It says, if we're talking about Klei Akerem Shal Nachri, I understand it's Aser, and you're being Mamayit HaTifla. But if it's not talking about Klei Akerem, if it's talking about Klei Zroim, what kind of Tifla? The Nachri, there's no problem of Klei Zroim of a Nachri. Says Avul Imu Tarin Ezo Tifla Hu Memait. Right? If it's Mutter, what kind of Tifla are you being Memait? So he says, no, maybe the Vart is that since for us it's Aser, Memel it's called Tifla. Even though when it belongs to a guy, it's not a problem. The fact that for us it's Aser, that's enough to call it Tifla. Also, Tosos threw in this line over here that Klayim and Chutzlar, it's Kilei Zroim and Chutzlar, it's Mutter, even if owned by a Jew. Right, Tosos said, "Afli Yisrael, it's going to be mutter to have Kilei Zroim in Chutz Laretz." So, to what extent is that true? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klayim Parakhes Halacha Yudalid that it means that it's mutter to plant Klayim in Chutz Laretz. You're still not allowed to eat Klayim in Chutz Laretz, Kilei Zroim in Chutz Laretz. That's what the Rambam writes. Rambam says that it's mutter to plant it because even La Arif has Zroim lechadchilo lezorim Chutz Laretz mutter, that even to mix the seeds and plant it in Chutz Laretz is mutter, the Rabbanon were not gozer atu Eretz Yisrael. But to eat it is going to be aser. That's the Shitas HaRambam. Okay, one more quick point. Rabbi Akiva says even Mekayim Esaklayim is going to be Asa, right? So what do we say? What does Mekayim Esaklayim mean? So Rashi said Mekayim Esaklayim means that someone else planted it, and you build a fence around the field, you do something to protect it, but you do something. Why doesn't Mekayim Esaklayim just mean I look at it, I see, oh, that's good, and I don't do anything about it, so I'm leaving it there. Isn't Mekayim just mean that you leave it there? Why does Rashi have to say Mekayim means I actually go and I build the fence, I do something to protect it? So if you look at Tosos, Dibra Maskel Rabbi Kiva, Tosos points out, Pirush Bekuntra Shoslem Siyag V'Geder Bekutzim K'tei L'Kayman V'Yafa Kiven. He says, Rashi says, good. Why? Dab Perik Basu Demakos Mochiach Rabbi Akiva Islei Lav Shein Mamaisa Ein Lokin Alav. In the last Perik of Masechus Makos, we know that Rabbi Kiva holds, you don't get Malkos on Alav Shein Mamaisa. So if Mekayim Klayim just meant, I look at it and I say, oh, that's good, I would never get Malkos for that. And yet Rabbi Akiva holds over here, you get Malkos for being Mekayim Klayim. So it must be that whatever Mekayim Klayim means, it means that you're doing a Maisa. Because if there was no Maisa, you wouldn't get Malkos on it. Udelo kepirish ha'aruch, shepirish Mekayim ba'nacha, deklayim ligadol b'toch sadeu loka, v'yislu lav shein b'maisa lokan lav. We're not going to assume like the shita of the aruch, who holds that Mekayim Klayim just means that you're okay with it, but that you don't actually do anything, and that you get Malkos for even a lav she'ein bo maisa. That is not what we're assuming. Rabbi Akiva holds lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin lav. It has to be that you actually do a maisa. The Beis Halevi writes in Simon Lamed Hey Os Yud Gimel Chelak Aleph of his Tshuvas, he says, no, maybe over here, maybe the Aruch is right. You're just watching it. You don't do anything, but maybe it's still called a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa, because maybe anytime the original Isser was done through a Maisa, so any subsequent promotion of that Isser is going to be mitzarif back to the original Maisa. What was the original Isser? Was the Zriya of the Klayim. Zriya is certainly a Maisa. You're Mekayim it by not doing anything about it. That is a promotion of the original Isser, and therefore maybe that itself qualifies as Yeshba Maisa. That's how the Beis Halevi wants to taina. It's very similar to like the Shita and the Gemara, that if a person is wearing shatness and someone tells him, no, take off the shatness, and you don't take it off. So there's one Shita and the Gemara, every time you're warned not to take it off, and you keep it on, you get Malkus again. Ah, it's Lav Shein B'Maisa, how can you get Malkus on it? No, because originally, when you put it on, that itself was a Maisa. So then with each subsequent Asra that you ignore, you're promoting the original Isser. So maybe there's such a Svar of the Beis Halevi writes. In general, how we define Lav Shein B'Maisa, we've discussed many times, there are three basic Shitos from Rishonim. What constitutes a Lav Shein B'Maisa versus a Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa? The Rambam Hilchos Chira says that anything that can be done with a Maisa, even if you happen to not do it with a Maisa, but it's an Avera that could theoretically be done by doing a Maisa, that's called Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. The only time Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa is when it can't possibly be done with a Maisa, that it's impossible to violate it with a Maisa, that's the only Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. The Sefer HaChinuch says the exact opposite. He says, no, Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa is if the only way to do it is with a Maisa. If there's any way that you can do it without a Maisa, even if you happen to do it with a Maisa, it's still called the Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Then there's a middle Shita that says, no, any time that you actually do a Maisa to violate the Lav, that's Lav She'esh Bo Maisa. Any time you don't do a Maisa to violate a Lav, it's Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. So sometimes the same Isser will sometimes be Yesh Bo Maisa, sometimes Ein Bo Maisa, depending on how you go ahead and do it. Rashi over here said that what's the Vart that you had to go and build a fence around, that's the only way you can get Malkus. Now, L'chora, according to the Rambam, if there's any Isser that can sometimes be done with a Maisa, it's a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. So according to the Rambam, Rashi wouldn't even need to say that you actually build a fence. Because even if you don't actually build a fence, since one of the ways of being Mekayim is by doing the Maisa of building fence, that would be enough to qualify as Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. So Rashi must hold a little differently. Okay, it says the Gemara Vayter. So that was story number one. They were sitting there and they asked that Shiloh. The next Shiloh that came up. What if you have money of Avodah Zarah that's in a non-Jew's possession, that's in the possession of an Ovid Chavim? What is the status of that money? So Mi Tofeses says Dama Biyala Chavmalo. Do we assume that the Isser goes onto the money, the Isser of Avodah Zarah goes onto the money even when an Ovid Chavim is holding onto it or not? I mean, certainly we know that this is true by a Jew. If a Jew sells Avodah Zarah and he has the money is certainly Aser. But what if a guy sells Avodah Zarah and now he has the money? So is the money Aser or not? So Rav Nachman says, you know, Mistavra, the male Avodah Zarah Biyala Chavim Mutarin. Misvara, I would think that it's Mutter. Now, he doesn't explain why Misvara it's Mutter, so Tosfos explains. What's the Svara? V'nira Tam says Tosfos, Nibra Maskel Mistavra, Kimash Avodah Zarah Tofeset Tomea, Mishim Tchsiv, Vayisa Cherem Kamahu, Kol Shata Mahayim Imenu Kamahu. It's a drasha that we learn that money of Avodah Zarah is going to become Aser. And that Pasuk, where we derive it from, Bishral Dafka Nemar, V'lo L'Bnei Noach, was actually said to Yisrael and not to Bnei Noach. So that's the Svara. That's the Svara that we would say that the same din does not apply to Bnei Noach. Says the Gemara, Midahanu dosel kamedirab baravua amr lehuzilus vinu kalmadi isluchu vesui grayu. There were these people that were interested in becoming gerim. They came to Rabbi Baravua. Rabbi Baravua says, let me give you some advice. You have a lot of avodah zarah in your possession? Go sell it now, cash out, you'll get the money, then be Megayer. And that way you'll be able to keep the money. Because if you're Megayer now, you're not going to be able to sell the Avodah Zarah, the money's all going to become Aser. So, my time, Allah, Mishum Dekhsav, the May Avodah Zarah, Miyadav Kham Mutarin. So, isn't that a great Raya? That the May Avodah Zarah, money of Avodah Zarah in the hands of Novik Chavim is Mutter. That's why he advised him to cash out and get the money now, because that money's going to be Mutter. So, says Gemar, no, Dilma Shaini Hasam, Kidikivan Dedaite Ligure, Vade Batla. No, maybe over there it's different, because since his intention was to be Megayer, clearly he wanted to be Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah, because he has no interest in the Avodah Zarah anymore, so clearly he wanted to be Mevatel it. Now, Frek Tosos, isn't there a better etzah to tell the guy? Instead of telling him, cash out, make a big sale, a liquidation sale of your Avodah Zarah, and keep the cash, why didn't he just tell him to break them all, be mevatel b'shvira, and then you could sell it whenever you want? Because while he's still a guy, he has the ability to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So let him be mevatel it, break it, and then sell the pieces. So Tosos says, no, the point is, obviously, that he wasn't going to get a lot of money for pieces of Avodah Zarah. He wanted to make some money. And the Avodah Zarah in its complete state, when you sell it to those who are ovid it, is worth a lot more than just broken, shattered pieces of the Avodah Zarah. That's what Tosa says in Dibur Maskel's Vinu.
We're saying that this guy was becoming a gear regardless. No, it wasn't like Rav was telling him to sell it so he would realize, oh my gosh, I gotta give all this, and maybe I should become a gear.
Oh no, I don't think he was discouraging him. Adrav, he was encouraging him, telling him how to do it and where he was not going to lose so much money. That you know, try to make life a little bit easier for him when he's Megayer.
He was already past the talking him out of it part of it.
Yeah, I assume he was past the talking him out of it part of it. Yeah, that's what I would assume. So the Gemara says, so this isn't necessarily right that the Mayo Avodah Zarah that's in the hands of Novik Chavim is Mutter, because this was a unique case since he was definitely Mevatelit. If you look at Tosos V'Dilma, he says Hiksha Rav Rabbi Yochanan Tenach Avodah Kham D'Shayich Babitla Yichol Limchar V'Yadam Mutar, and that's great for the Avodah Zarah. He can be Mevatelit, and therefore the money that he gets for it is going to be Mutter. El Miyai Nesach Lo Shayich Babitla V'Afilu Achi Kamalus Vinu Kol Madi. But wait a second, what about Yai Nesach? Can't be Mevatel Yai Nesach. Yai Nesach is Yai Nesach. And yet he's told him, sell everything you've got. Sounds like you could sell Yai Nesach also and the money's going to be Mutter, even though you're not Mevatel it. So isn't that Vayter Araya, that money that you get for Avodah Zarah, that a guy gets for Avodah Zarah, is Mutter Ba'ana'ah? To Amash, we talk about Bryce, you saw Shnosh Abad Chavim, Shemask Avodah Zachavim, Vavilach Yai Nesach, Vavilach Alma Din Echel D'Shneim, and we're going to see soon, Bryce implies that the same din applies to both the Yai Nesach and the Avodah Zarah itself. But there's no bittul of Yai Nesach, so it must be that the money that you get for the Avodah Zarah, that the guy gets for the Avodah Zarah, is Mutter. So he says, Yeshlomer, do you know how you pashal and hetu Yai Nesach, Yosem, Yidmei Avodah Chavim, the Chamiri Surah? He says, yeah, but Yai Nesach in general, we already knew the money of Yai Nesach was Mutter, because in general, Avodah Zarah money is treated much more severely than Yai Nesach money. When it's actual money that you got for the Getchka itself, for the Avodah Zarah itself, in general, we knew to treat that more severely than Yai Nesach. Say, no, Chinami, about Yai Nesach, there's no Shaila. The money that a guy gets for Yai Nesach is Vadei Mutter, and when he's Megayer, he could definitely keep that money. We want to know about the money he gets for Avodah Zarah itself. So says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, another Raya. El Mehacha, maybe a Raya from here. Yisrael Shah, you know, Shabbat Chavim Mano, Machra, Avodah Zarah, Behavi Lo. Let's say a Jew His nosh above it, chav him $100, and he sells an avodah zarah, and he gives him the money, meaning the guy sells the avodah zarah to pay the Jew back, and he gives him the money, yai nesach, lo, he sells his yai nesach, and he gives the Jew the money, and that's how he pays back his debt to the Jew, says the Gemara, mutter, says the Braisa, mutter, that's okay. So Rashi says, if we were to stop right there, we're good. Meaning, that's our raya. We're done already with our raya. What you see from there is, demei avodah zarah in the hands of an avid chavim is mutter. Because what happened over here? The guy owed the Jew $100. He sold his avodah zarah and he paid the Jew back with that money. So you see that the money is vadei mutter, when it's in the hands of a guy. Now, we happen to quote the rest of the brisa, and once we quote the rest of the brisa, we get into a discussion about the rest of the brisa, but we already answered our shaila. Aval, im amr lo hamtein li ad she'em kar avodah zkham vavila. But if the guy says to the Jew, you know what, do me a favor, wait till I sell my avodah zarah, and then I'll bring you the money. Or, yai nesach vavilach, wait till I sell my yai nesach, then I'll bring you the money. Osir, in that case, it's going to be osir for the Jew to take the money. Maishan reisha, maishan seifa, what's the difference between the two? Why in the reisha is it mutter when the guy just happens to sell his avodah zarah and pays the Jew with that money, versus the seifa where he informs the Jew in advance, just wait for me so I can sell my avodah zarah, and that's going to be osir. So Rav Sheisha, seifa mishum davale ki rotza bekumo. Because in the seifa, it's considered that the Jew is rotza bekumo. He told me in advance he's going to sell his avodah zarah. I'm praying that his avodah zarah will still be there and won't get destroyed before he has a chance to sell it, because I need him to sell it so I can get my money back. So that's why it's going to be a problem. So frankly, Gemara of Chirotza Bekumo Kiya Gavna Mi Asir, is that kind of Rotza Bekumo really problematic? But Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Ger Ovid Chavim Shiar Shuavi and Ovid Chavim. Let's say you have a Ger and an Ovid Chavim who both together Yarshin, their father, who happened to have been an Ovid Chavim, right? Then he had two children, one of them just converted to Judaism. So Ger Yochalomalo, the Ger could say to his brother, to his Ovid Chavim brother, Tala Ta Avodas Kachavim Vani Ma'os. You take the Avodah Zarah, I'll take the money. Meaning we'll split our father's possessions 50-50, but if you could just take the Avodah Zarah stuff, because I have no use for that, I'll take corresponding to that all the stuff that's mutter for me, like the money. So you see that a ger is rotsu b'kiyuma. He certainly wants the Avodah Zarah to be mekuyam, because if that Avodah Zarah gets destroyed somehow, he's going to have to split the money with his brother. So in order to have every bit of Avodah Zarah that his brother gets, he needs that to be in existence in order for him to get his money. So he's rotsu b'kiyuma, and we say that it's mutter. Tol atay ayinesach vani peros, says you take the ayinesach, I'll take the fruits. Imishaboler shosager aser. But once the ger has already taken possession of any of this stuff of the ayinesach, the avodah zarah, then it's automatically aser. Then you can't go trading it for money. Amar Rava Bar Ula. So you see, but bottom line is, what do you see? That Rotsa Bekumo in such a way where you're only Rotsa Bekumo because you want to get that which you're going to trade for it is mutter. So too over here in our case where the guy owes the Jew money, and the Jew said the Jew is rotsu b'kiyumo on the avodah zarah because he knows that the guy needs to sell that avodah zarah in order to get the money to pay him back. So that's okay, apparently. That's not a problem. So Amar Rava Bar Ula Masnisim b'avodas chavim amaschalekas l'fi shvareah. Now, it must be the Mishnah song about a case of an avodah zarah that even if it breaks, it's going to be valuable. It's a zav or kesef that even if it breaks, you could divide it up, and therefore he's not rotsu b'kiyuma at all. But meaning in the case of the two children yarshining the father, the Jewish child is not rotsu b'kiyuma, because even if the avodah zarah gets destroyed, it's still going to be valuable, and therefore he'll still get his money. But if he's genuinely rotsu b'kiyuma, he doesn't want it to get destroyed. Like in our case, where the guy owes the Jew money, and let's say the guy has an avodah zarah that's worthless if it's broken, so the Jew is rotsu b'kiyuma of that avodah zarah, that's in fact going to be a problem. The Shach writes in Yerodeus in Kufmem Vav Sivkat and Hay that according to this, it's dafka a ger. It's dafka a ger, but someone who's hamir aviv ubanav imo umes aviv. Let's say someone, a guy becomes an apostate. He goes and he converts to Christianity or whatever, along with one of his children, and one of the children remains frum. So the frum child can't tell the mumar child, "You take the avodah zarah and I'll take the money," because this is only a din by a ger, since the idea is, as the Gemara is about to say, that by a ger, the whole din of Yerusha is only midrabanan, and the Rabbanan were makel with this guy because we want him to have an easy time as he's being megayer. But we're not going to say the same thing by a Jew on any level. Let's see that inside that raya inside the Gemara. Tenach avodas kachavim, yai nesach ma'ekel meimer. So says the Gemara, that makes a lot of sense for avodah zarah. But yai nesach, look, if the yai nesach gets destroyed, you know, he's out of luck. So you can explain the Mishnah about the guy Yarshining, that he's not really Rotsa Bikiyumo of the Avodah Zarah, because even when the Avodah Zarah breaks, it's still valuable, so I'll still get my money, even if my brother has a broken Avodah Zarah. But how are you going to explain the Yayin Nesach? I said to the brother, you take Yayin Nesach, I'll take Peros. Well, that Yayin Nesach gets destroyed, well, then I'm up a creek, then I'm really in trouble, because now I'm going to have to split the Peros with you. So you see, he's Rotsa Bikiyumo of the Yayin Nesach. There's no such thing as Yayin Nesach made out of silver, that even when it breaks, it's okay, it's still worth something. It's not going to be worth anything if it gets destroyed. So says Gemara, yes, there is such a thing as such Yayin Nesach, but Cheres Hadaryani. It's not really Yayin Nesach, it's Cheres Hadaryani. Remember, we discussed much earlier in the Masechta these little shards of pottery that were so balua with tam of Yayin Nesach that they would like dip it in water and it would flavor the water like Yayin. So if that breaks into littler shards, they're still valuable, it doesn't matter. So that's why it's not called that he's Rotsa Bikiyumo. Frankly, Gemara Valo Rotsa Bikiyumo Shlo Yignovu Shlo Yavdu. Okay, fine, he's not Rotsa Bikiyumo in the sense that he doesn't care if it breaks, but he certainly cares if it gets lost or it gets stolen. So in that sense, he's Rotsa Bikiyumo, because if it gets lost or it gets stolen, now he's going to have to split all of his money together with his brother, right? So says Gemara, Elamar of Papa, Yerush Sagerka Amrit. So Rav Papa says, no, we're misunderstanding the whole case. The whole reason you're allowed to do that in the case of the two brothers is because we're talking about Yerusha of a Ger. Shine Yerusha Sager, the whole idea of a Ger Yarshining, why does he Yarshin his father? He's not even related to his father anymore. A Ger Shinizgar is Kakat and Shinolad. The whole idea of Yerusha Sager is that Kilo Rabban Gzeru Shami Yachsel Kilkulo. The Rabban gave a special Kula that a Ger is allowed to Yarshin lest he go back to his old ways and he go back to being a guy. So that's a special Kula we gave a Ger. So of course you can have all sorts of special Kulas in that Parsha. Not to derive anything in terms of what we would say about a normal halacha when a guy owes a Jew money and you wrote a bikumo of his avodah zarah. Tanya nami achim of a brayso that supports that. Bamedvar mamurim sheyarshu aval nishtat v'asher, that the whole issue is only if it's a yerusha, but if it's a shutvus, then it's going to be asher. Then any sort of rotsa bikumo is going to be asher. So you see very strongly a raya that the idea of rotsa bikumo is only okay in the case of yerusha because the rabbanon were simply mekel for the ger. But then they've asked Vaiter Shaila Ger Toshav Maushe Vatal Vodzkhavim. The third Shaila, right? We're on the third Shaila of the day. Can a Ger Toshav be Mevatal Vodzara? The Palach, what's the two studdim of the Shaila? The Palach Maftil, the Lo Palach Lo Maftil? Is it only someone who worships the Avodazara that could be Mevatal the Avodazara, but someone who doesn't worship cannot be Mevatal? And the Ger Toshav obviously does not worship Avodazara? Odilma called the Barmine, Maftil, the Hai Barminehu, or maybe anyone who's in the category of non Jew. Could be Mevatel, and he is a non-Jew. A Ger Toshav, at the end of the day, is still a non-Jew. So what's the din? So Amar Rav Nachman, Mistavra, De Palach Mafti, De Lo Palach Lo Mafti. He says, logically, I would say that someone who worships can be Mevatel, someone who does not worship cannot be Mevatel, and therefore, this Ger Toshav cannot be Mevatel an Avodah Zarah. Tulsa says, we said earlier in Daf Mem Beis that Yisrael HaYachal Avatel Avodah Zarah Shalavit Chavim, had it not been for the concern that he's going to pick it up and he's going to be Kone at first and then be Mevatel it. Sounds like otherwise Yisrael would have had the right to be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah, even though the Yisrael does not worship it. Says Tosas, yeah, that's only according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. But Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan in our Gemara, that you fundamentally lack the koach to be Mevatel and Avodah Zarah when you do not worship that avodah zarah. Frankly, Mar Meisve Yisrael Shematz Avodah Zchavim B'Shuk Atchlo Basal Yado Omer Lo V'Chavim Vatel. If Yisrael finds an avodah zarah in the shuk, so before he actually picks it up, he could tell an avodah zarah to come and be mevatel, and then it's fine. Misha Basal Yado, once it already comes into his hands, Ein Omer Lo V'Chavim Vatel. He cannot tell an avodah zarah to be mevatel. Neishar Omer Lo V'Chavim Vatel Avodah Zchavim Shalav Shalchaver Ben Ovda Ben Shein Ovda. And Ovid Kochavim can be mevatel his own avodah zarah and somebody else's avodah zarah, whether he's Ovda or whether he's not Ovda. What does that mean? Whether he's Ovda or not Ovda. My Ovda, my She'ein Ovda. What does that phrase mean? If you want to say that both Ovda and Lo Ovda refer to the Ovid Kuchavim, but the question is, Ovda is that it's his, Eino Ovda is that it's not his. Well, Hainu Shalov Shalchaver, well, that's the same thing as the previous phrase, where he said he could be Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah Shalov Shalchaver. Why would we repeat the same halacha twice? That can't be what it means. Elalav Ovda, Ovid Kochavim. Umay She'eino Ovda, ger toshav. No, the point is that ovda means a regular ovid kochavim can be mevatel his own and somebody else's avodah zara. A ger toshav also an eino ovda, the kind of guy that doesn't do avodah zara, namely a ger toshav can also be mevatel his own and somebody else's avodah zara. Shmami no ger toshav na mevatel. Ah, so there you have it. A raya that a ger toshav can be mevatel avodah zara, says more alone, not a raya at all. The only malachi divide ovid kochavim. Maybe ovda ve'eno ovda are both about actual ovda kochavim, people who actually worship idols. Aye, but we asked with kamrit hainu shalov v'shal chavero, but then the Mishnah is being very repetitive because it already said shalov v'shal chavero. So you have to answer reisha zevezel pa'or v'zevezel markulis. When it says a guy can be mevatel and ovda kochavim can be mevatel his own and his friends of avodah zara, that means they both worship the same avodah zara, the same type of avodah zara. They both worship markulis. So the guy could be mevatel his own markulis and his friend's markulis. Seifa zel par vizel markulis. But in the case of ovda ve'eno ovda, what it's teaching me is an additional chiddush. Even if one guy goes to the church of markulis and the other one goes to the church of pa'ar, the one who worships at markulis can even be mevatel the bal pa'ar. That's the additional chiddush. But it's no raya about what a ger toshav could do because that price is not even discussing a ger toshav. Meis veis afrekling mara ezu ger toshav. What is the definition of a ger toshav? Three shitas. Kol shekibul ov b'fnei gimel chaverim shlo lavan avod zcham divra meir. Meir says, as long as he's mekabel not to do avod zar, that's it. That's all he needs to be mekabel, he's a ger toshav. V'chamrom kol shekibul ov shev mitzvah shekibul ov emine noach. The Chum say, no, he's got to be mekabel, the shev mitzvah b'nei noach. Not just not doing avod zar, all shev mitzvah b'nei noach. Acherim omrim, unbelievable, elu lo bo l'chal ger toshav, that's neither of those definitions are the definition of a ger toshav. El ezu ger toshav, you know what a ger toshav really is? It's a ger ochel nevelo shekibul ov l'chaim kol mitzvah samurus b'toruch l'tzmiyas nevelos. It's a ger that keeps, that does not keep kosher laws, but keeps every other law in the Torah. Unbelievable shita, isn't it? Aser for him to be Shomer Shabbos. He keeps every other law in the Torah except for nevelos. So anyway, by a ger toshav miyachdin etzlo yayin vein mafkidin etzlo yayin. You can leave wine by him for a while, but don't give it to him as a pikadon. Vafilu bi'ir sharuba Yisrael, even in a city that's mostly populated by Jews. Av miyachdin etzlo yayin vafilu bi'ir sharuba of the chavim. You can temporarily leave him with some wine, even in a city that's rova of the chavim. Shmano kiyeno, and his oil is like his wine. So frankly, Gemara shmano kiyeno. What do you mean his oil is like his wine? You mean to tell me that the oil of a ger toshav is aser, just like yayin nesach? That's ridiculous. No, what we really mean to say is his wine is like his oil, meaning that his wine is going to be mutter. But in regards to everything else, he's considered like an Ovid Kochavim. For that line is why we quoted this entire discussion. What are we going to get out of that line? We'll see in a second. Rabbi Shimon says his wine is Yai Nesech, and some say that it's Mutter even to drink. So Katani Mia. But bottom line, what did we say there? That in regards to everything else, outside of wine, he's considered like an Ovid Chavim. L'may Hilchso, what does that mean? What's Shar Kol Davar? So, Lav de Mevatel Ovid Chavim, Kovid Chavim. Ah, doesn't that mean that he could be a Mevatel and Avod Zara like an Ovid Chavim? That's what it means, the Shar Kol Davar. In terms of Bit Avod Zara, he has din of an Ovid Chavim. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo, litin reshus levatel. No, it's about a totally different din. It's about a din in Erevin, that if you want to make an Erev Chatzeros, and he owns one of the houses, so he has a din of an Ovid Chavim in terms of giving over his reshus and being mevatel. So good to Tanya, like the Brisa says, that Yisrael Mumer Meshamer Shabbato B'Shuk, if you have a non-frum Jew who at least observes Shabbos in the Shuk, mevatel reshus, all he needs to do is be mevatel reshus, and the Erev works. She'ein Meshamer Shabbato B'Shuk, ein mevatel reshus. But if he does not observe Shabbos, even publicly, then he can't be mevatel rishus. Mishaam Yisrael nosim rishus mevatel rishus, because only Yisrael can be nosim rishus mevatel rishus. Ubovid chavim actually is kabbar. No, but chavim, you actually need to rent his space in order to be considered part owner of his space to make the eruv work. It's not good enough for him to just say I'm being mevatel rishus. Ketzad omelo rishus k'nuilach rishusim mevutaloslach kana ve'in sarach lezakos. So what does it mean to be mevatel rishus? If you just say here my rishus is kanoi to you, my rishus is bottle to you, go and acquire it, then you don't need to actually do any form of kinyan. So that is limited only to a Jew, not to a non-Jew. And that's what we mean. The Shar called over the Ger Toshav as the din of a non-Jew. He would have that din in Hilchas Erevin, not any other din in Hilchas Erevin. Okay, we rushed a little bit at the end. I'm late to Yeshiva. Have a wonderful day, everybody.